Welcome to Life-Giving Water Messages, where I expound upon the Word of God and, through the internet, deliver it to you. Today's message is part one of a four-part series entitled Greater Than, with today's message entitled We is Greater Than Me, based off of Acts chapter 2, verses 14 through 18. So let us dive into the Word today. Then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, "Listen carefully, all of you, fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem, make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. No, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your younger men will see visions, and your older men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy." Amen. If you want to go quickly, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. Let me say that again. If you want to go quickly, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. When I was a pastor, when I was a youth pastor, I was tasked with starting from scratch in the building up of a youth ministry. When I first took over, most of the youth either had graduated and went to college or left because they liked their former youth leaders, and once they left, once the leaders left, the youth followed. And that is a sad but common reality in ministry, not just in youth ministry, but in churches as a whole. When a new pastor comes in, there are people that will inevitably leave the church because they don't want to give the new pastor a chance. They like the other pastor, and they're afraid of what will happen under the watch of the new under the leadership of the new pastor. Rather than be down by that, I focused on the three or four youth I did have, and I built up relationships with them. I spent my first year in that ministry building up a core of youth that grew slowly from 4 to 6 or 8 youth. Following the first year, an idea came to my mind. I had remembered how, as a youth myself, I enjoyed going to local venues to support local bands. I enjoyed participating in open mics. And I wondered, what if I started an open mic ministry? Perhaps our youth would come. Perhaps they would invite friends. I knew that I would need help. However, it seemed that the only help I would get would be from a couple of youth leaders who I had enlisted and were serving alongside of me in the youth ministry. There was little to no buy-in from the church itself. The first event, we had about 20 youth. Then it grew to 30. Then to 40. Eventually, one evening, we had 80 kids show up. The ministry grew quickly as a result of my efforts. However, if the ministry was going to be sustainable, I knew it couldn't just be run by me and those couple of youth leaders. When the 80 kids showed up, I was floored. I was excited, but I was also nervous. Like, you know, I had kids everywhere. Kids inside, kids outside. There was no way I could keep a handle on that situation if it was going to be that big. It grew quickly under my efforts, but it couldn't stay sustained that way. We needed the church to buy into the ministry. We needed them to support the ministry with their time and their presence, and maybe their talents as well. So I challenged the church that Sunday to come to the open mics and support the youth. I invited them to participate to make this a multi-general ministry. And thankfully, the church did take that challenge seriously. And we had everyone from young to old attending the open mics. The older folks would listen to music they would otherwise never listen to, and they certainly didn't like the music, but they appreciated the kids and their talent and their willingness to share their talent. And the youth did the same, as some of the adults came and played music that was from a generation gone by. And yet, while they may not have necessarily appreciated the music, they appreciated watching the talent. And actually, they found themselves liking some of the music they were hearing. And vice versa with the older folks. It was an all-hands-on-deck ministry, as all ministry should be. And as such, it carried on successfully for many years. What's more, youth came to view that space as their space. And they came to identify themselves as members of that church. Many took part in other group activities, such as Fast for 30, which was a kind of like World Vision's World Vision's program. It was a fasting program that kids would go 30 hours without food, and they would raise awareness for hunger and other social causes in the community while doing so. And you basically lock in at a church for that period of time. You don't eat. All you have are like water or Kool-Aid breaks or something, you know, to get some sugar in them, obviously, especially those who need a little sugar. But you didn't eat for that entire 30-hour period. And then you would do community service things while doing it as well, like serving breakfast, which is always fun when you're fasting, serving breakfast to seniors at the town hall, or, you know, doing, you know, cleanup efforts or whatever the community service might be. And we also did car washes as well, and people would contribute and donate, and that the funds would go to support whatever cause we were raising awareness for. So it was just a really wonderful thing. And these kids that would come to the open mics started finding themselves doing things like that, getting involved in the mission and the ministry. We can all think of times when something was easier or more successful, when we worked together rather than alone. Oh, and I remember now what the World Vision program was. World Vision's program is 30-hour famine. We did something like it, kind of modeled off of it, but tailored it to our own church, our own denomination, and called it and made it local ministry and called it Fast for 30. But anyway, we can all think of times when something was easier or more successful when we worked together rather than alone. But it's not just about combining resources. There's something special that happens when we work together. There's camaraderie built, and the church takes ownership of their collective efforts in ministry. As a result, such ministries not only grow and are sustainable, but they also result in healthier church family dynamic and range of missional outreach. Acts chapter 2, verses 14 through 18 talks about what happened when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the diverse group of believers in Jerusalem at Pentecost. Men and women of all ages and social classes had visions and dreams, as is said in verses 17 through 18, where Peter was quoting the prophet Joel. Together, they had a vision greater than what they could have had alone. And even though they spoke different languages and came from different walks of life, the Spirit enabled them to understand each other and be united in their vision for community. Onlookers were surprised. They thought the people were drunk at 9 a.m., that would be even a feat for an iron worker. Who gets drunk at 9 a.m. unless you have some serious, serious problems, right? Like, that's not the time for drinking. Most people are waking up or are just getting to work at 9 a.m., let alone drinking. Such big, bold dreams wouldn't make sense to everyone. But in the end, 3,000 people were baptized. How awesome is that? 3,000 people. people were baptized. The dream was led by the Holy Spirit who works through the community. More and more different kinds of people caught the dream and became inspired. And God makes the same promise to us as to those who were gathered at Pentecost, that when we follow Jesus, we will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit inspires our dreams and unifies our vision. We have a goal that in our church, we have a goal that our church family members will grow in generosity, enabling us to not only make our current budget, but to empower us to expand our local and global mission and ministry. And we are going to ask each of our church family members to spend 30 minutes praying on how they can grow in their generosity. We're including a card that shows how they can increase their giving. And perhaps if you attend a different church, perhaps you are going through a similar thing. This is around the time when stewardship campaigns happen. But perhaps your church is doing or taking similar efforts. We're going to reach out to this local program that brings food to kids in school, especially now with the pandemic happening, to see how we can increase our support for that vital local mission. And we'll be looking to be more active in local missions, such as the local soup kitchen, and global missions, such as Rise Against Hunger. Imagine what could be possible if we as the church, whether it be my church, First United Methodist Church of Newton, or the church that you attend, or any church, imagine what would be possible if we increased our generous support of the mission and ministries that our church are involved in. Imagine if 90% of the congregation or more agreed to increase their giving if possible. And imagine if 90% were actively involved in serving in hands-on mission and ministry. You know, when you go into a church, you always hear about the 80-20 rule, right? 20% of the people are absolutely devoted and active and have hands-on the ministry and mission of the church, while the rest of the 80% don't. They show up on Sunday and go home, you know, and that's the extent of it. Imagine if it were the other way around even, where 80% were hands-on and only 20% weren't. We could accomplish so much, like increasing our ability to feed and clothe those in need in our community. We could provide youth a safe space to grow spiritually and emotionally. We could build up relationships and ministries that reach out to minority groups and people of color in our community. We would increase our diversity, becoming a church that is actually more reflective of our community. Do you know that the most segregated time in America is Sunday morning? Because churches are often segregated. How sad is that? It's sad, but true. Imagine what we could accomplish. Friends, unless people think we might be drunk or crazy or off our rockers, the dream simply is not big enough. Let us dream together. Let us dream big. And together reach far. We will always be greater than me. Together, there is no limit to what we can do in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we just thank you and praise you for this opportunity to be challenged to begin to see the bigger picture, that this isn't just about us and our being spiritually fed, but that church is about us together serving as your ministers in this world. Remind us, Lord, that we are not only citizens of heaven, but we are your representatives, your ambassadors here on earth, that we may live in this world, but we're not of it. So give us the strength, Lord, to move forward as your ambassadors and to spread the kingdom of heaven in all that we do through our generous giving and our generous time and our generous presence. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Friends, it's been great to have you here. I'm so thankful that you tune in week to week. I hope that this message has not only inspired you but challenged you to take the next step forward in your faith. And I look forward to seeing you next week. Remember, check out the episode notes. You'll see links in there. You'll also notice that there's a link to support First United Methodist Church of Newton. If this is this is where you get spiritually fed every week and you would like to contribute to what we're doing, that would be a great way to be a part of our church community. This is a free podcast for all people, but my church certainly could use the support, especially during this pandemic. If you attend another church or this is just supplemental to your faith community that you participate in, then by all means support your faith community. They need it as much as anybody else. So whatever you do, though, be a generous and faithful giver so that the work of Jesus Christ in our communities may be carried out faithfully and boldly. Remember, you are richly blessed so that you may be a blessing to others. Go in peace.